Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart, and we'd like to take time on this show to let you know about all the great things you can stream online. And we are aware those conversations are often dominated by the big streaming platforms, the Netflixes, the Amazons, the Hulus. So today we're devoting our review preview segment to smaller, more boutique platforms. Richard Brody is the New Yorker's movie listings editor. He recently wrote a piece called What to Stream, 46 Films from OvidTV.tv, Crackle, and IFC Films Unlimited. Richard, thanks for being with us.
Allison, thanks for having me. How are you doing?
Doing okay. So let's start with Ovid. It's a subscription service, and it aims to offer documentaries and films from catalogs that aren't otherwise available for streaming. And the film you picked for us, it picked a couple, but let's start with The Punishment, a fictional movie. Mm-hmm. It's an American translation from a 1962 foreign film by someone you describe as, quote, the most important little-known filmmaker in the history of cinema. Who is the director?
The director is Jean Rouch. Jean Rouch is more or less the inventor of cinema vérité and of autofiction.
Well, that is why he is so important.
Yes.
So what is this movie about, and why did you pick it?
Well, The Punishment spins off from one of his metafictions, from a film called The Human Pyramid. It's the story of a teenage girl in France, a young woman who's a high school student and is kicked out of school for the day. And she decides to use her day off to conduct, in effect, a socio-psychological experiment on men in Paris, and essentially gets herself, to put it crudely, picked up, and in order to find out what in the world makes these pickup artists tick. And the answer is that the ambient atmosphere of sexual depredation that a woman faces in daily life in Paris is an obstacle course.
That is called The Punishment. We have two docs you suggest, Cassandra El Exotico. It's from 2018 about Lucha Libre, which is that Mexican wrestling, and it's named after a wrestler. Tell us about this wrestler.
This wrestler, Cassandra El Exotico, is a gay man who was the first openly gay wrestler in the Lucha Libre circuit. The film, which is made by Marie Lozier, a French filmmaker who actually lived and worked in New York for quite a while as a film programmer, is an intimate documentary. She carries the camera herself. She follows Cassandro around in the dressing room, in the ring, and also getting his medical treatment. So it's a story about how he overcame prejudice, but also about the terrible toll that his sport and his art takes on his body. You know, whatever may look fake about wrestling, the pain is real.
Let's take a listen to a clip from Cassandro the Exotico.
A lot of people see me as an exotico leader, as an exotico goddess. That's why I'm called the Liberace of Lucha Libre. But I've been through a lot. I've been beat up. I've been hurt. A lot of doors shut on my face because I was labeled like gay, exotico.
Wrestling is like a religion in Mexico. Where every Sunday after we go to mass, we went to Lucha Libre. So I loved it. And then, of course, me being gay, I loved the men. I was so intrigued with them, with their licras and their masks and their bodies. I was like, ooh, la la.
You compare the director of this movie to a mathematician in your review. How so?
It's a very precise, analytical documentary. She looks at the details of Cassandra's life one by one by one by one, and it turns out to be a sort of cubistic vision. It's not a huge narrative arc. It's a collection of elements that create a mosaic-like portrait.
My guest is Richard Brody, New Yorker Magazine's movie listings editor. We're talking about what you can stream on some of the more boutique platforms. This is also on Ovid TV. It's called Did You Wonder Who Fired the Gun? It's a documentary from 1946, which is sadly relevant in this moment, given the shooting death of Ahmaud Arbery in Georgia. Where does this documentary take place, and what happens?
Well, it's a documentary from 2017 centered on an incident that took place in 1946. It's a personal documentary by a filmmaker named Travis Wilkerson, a white man who returns to his family's hometown of Dothan, Alabama, to investigate a family story. The story being that his great-grandfather, who ran a grocery store, shot to death a black man named Bill Spann in his store and went unpunished for it. So in returning to the area, Wilkerson both depicts the, investigates the history of racism, as well as the history of the struggle for civil rights that took place in exactly that area, along with the ongoing climate of fear that endures in that area as a result of white supremacist pressure. That also involves members of his, family.
Is he himself in the documentary?
He himself is, well, it's a first-person documentary, so you don't so much see him as it's his camera presence throughout. His eye is the literal eye of the film, I-E-Y-E and I. And when I first saw the film, when the film premiered at the True False Film Fest in Columbia, Missouri in 2017, Wilkerson himself was on stage reading his commentary. And it was far from an act of theatrical vanity. It seemed like a confession. Of course, in the film, as released, his voice is a voiceover. But his presence is very much a factor in the film.
That's what's available on Ovid. Let's get to Crackle. Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice, that is a classic from Paul Mazursky. Some people might have actually seen it the first time out with Natalie Wood, Elliot Gould, Diane Cannon, and Robert Culp. What is special about this film to you? What do you think, why'd you put it on your list?
Well, Paul Mazursky was about 40 years old when he made this, his first feature film. He was a man of the 40s and 50s, and here he makes a comedy that shudders with the pressures, the tensions, and the liberations of the new era of the late 60s. It's a film of not just sexual liberation, but of psychological liberation and the sense of free fall that the loss of familiar moorings, familiar moral and ethical and psychological and intimate boundaries can result in. And the performances by this quartet of actors is unhinged to match.
Well, let's hear a clip from the movie. This is when the characters, they all first attend a therapy group.
I want to welcome you all to the Institute. My name is Tim, and I'm the leader of this marathon group. The leader's a bit strong, actually. I'm your guide. Now, as you know, we're going to try to go 24 hours without a break. And we will have 2 one-hour breaks for food. And as far as sleep is concerned, that's up to you. There are no rules here. If you fall asleep, you fall asleep. One rule. No physical violence. I mean, you might get angry with someone, so please don't clobber him or her. Okay. That's the only restriction. We talk a lot about love, but we don't feel it a lot. So perhaps this marathon will open up some doors.
So this had an off-Broadway staging recently. Why does something like this hold up 50 years later?
Well, I haven't seen the theatrical version, so I can't say, but the movie itself. Mores are constantly changing. And, you know, recent years seems to have marked another acceleration in social consciousness, all for the better. But I think that, you know, following on media discussions of it, you can see both the tension and, unfortunately, the reaction, sometimes the vehement and even destructive reaction that the sense of unmooredness results in. And I think that Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice suggests the underlying principle of psychological disturbance, even among people with the best of intentions, that results in a time of rapid change.
The next film we're going to talk about is Welcome to Me, which stars Kristen Wiig as a mentally ill woman who wins the lottery, and she uses the lottery winnings to get her own talk show. Here she is describing it to a character played by Tim Robbins.
So, like Oprah, but with a swan boat.
Talk show.
Mm-hmm. Hosted by?
Me.
Hosted by you.
Yeah.
All right, well, how about a little recap? In case you missed last week's episode of the Alice Klieg Show, here's
what's
going on.
It's not the name of it.
You're off your meds. You just spent $15 million. You're living in a reservation casino, and you're hosting your own talk show. thought I asked you not to eat.
It's a banana. It's in its own container.
So, Richard, is this a comedy? Is it a dramedy? It's... How would you describe it?
I would describe it as very much of a comedy with a strong level of pathos, and in fact, a slightly excessively tweaked level of pathos. This is a brilliantly flawed film. It reminds me sort of a Jerry Lewis movie. Kristen Wiig's performance has that level of wild comedic energy. And the premise of it, which is that this young woman who is somewhat obsessed with infomercials decides to produce a public access infomercial that becomes the unfolding of the story of her life as she sees it, both dramatically and psychologically. It's a madly inspired conceit, and the show that she creates is a series of comedic masterworks. This clip that you just played suggests to me the one odd element of the film, which is that her obsession is psychologized. She's depicted as being mentally ill, and she gets off her meds, she says, because her medication suppresses her personality. In other words, suppresses the side of her that makes her capable of creating such a show, of exposing her life publicly as she does. And I find it kind of unfortunate that there's an either-or factor of mental health and mental illness involved in her character. But it really doesn't detract from the comedic and the emotional energy of the film.
That's available on Crackle. Let's move over to IFC Films in our final moments. Police Adjective. You describe this next film as a criminal and linguistic thriller. It's in an English translation. It's actually a Romanian film. What is it about?
Well, it's about a policeman. It's about a young police officer in a Romanian town who is ordered to conduct a sting operation against a bunch of clueless teenagers in a minor drug deal. And it goes against his conscience. And part of the process of his taking action involves his discussions with his wife, a literature professor, on the meanings of words and of songs, and with his captain, who is a very literal by-the-book man who refers to a dictionary as a way to call him to his duty. The director, Cornelio Porumboiu, is a sort of political epistemologist. He's very interested in the relations between language and power, the power of language and the language of power. His film, The Whistlers, by the way, was which features the same actor, is in theaters, or rather streaming right now.
And we have an early Safdie Brothers feature called Daddy Long Legs. Does it have the Safdie vibe, the energy?
Oh, it very much has the Safdie vibe and energy. It's quite a personal story. It's based on their own childhood. It's a story of two children whose father, in the 2 weeks a year that he has them, is a kind of reckless, freewheeling man who turns their lives upside down. And the man who plays their father in this movie is the director, Ronald Bronstein, who's the director of one of the great independent films called Frownland, and who has been collaborating with the Safdie brothers since then, including on Uncut Gems. And in effect, Bronstein is such a powerful presence that he kind of co-directs the film from within the frame.
Let's listen to a clip from Daddy Long Legs.
You have two choices right now. One is you continue acting the way that you're acting and you watch me blow my top. Or two, I hang up on you. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. You see that, guys? That was awesome, huh? Now I'm mad! Ah! Yeah, get it, quick!
You're here, finally. You know you're not responsible enough to be here to pick them up.
It's my screw up. I'm entitled to screw up, and you can screw up for the rest of the year. How you guys doing?
Good.
Comfortable?
No.
All right. One, two.
That's Daddy Longlegs from the Safdie Brothers. Before I let you go, all of these services we mentioned, Crackle, Ovid TV, and IFC, are they subscription services?
Crackle is not. Crackle is free of charge. Ovid TV and IFC are our subscription services.
And if you could, we have time for one more recommendation out of either on any of the platforms you mentioned. What would you shout out? One more.
Oh, from Ovid TV, Chez Jolie Coiffure, a documentary by the Cameroonian-born, Belgian-based director Rosine Bacam. It's set in a beauty salon in Belgium, in Brussels, where the woman who operates it is a Cameroonian woman who has turned her salon into a sort of unofficial social center and information clearinghouse for the immigrant community in Brussels.
Richard Brody, New Yorker movie listings editor. Richard, thank you so much for sharing your listing with us and your time today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Allison. Good to talk with you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.